This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Before we go on, Robert, I don't want to get into that kind of thing, organ harvesting. It's just, okay, from what you say, it raises a possibility. Just what I suggested, organ harvesting might have been a possible answer for all the strange things seen on that body. I just wanted your reaction.
Well, you know, there weren't any organs missing. So that was part of the strangeness to that. So, yeah, it's a big mystery.
It certainly sounds different than a lot of things here involving UFOs. Before we go on to other subjects such as giants and something related to a Batman, or as the guy says in the movie, I'm Batman. No, I'm going to mention that. He actually does in the new movie The Flash. Michael Keaton says that. And there's nobody who ever played Batman who says that way, which is the best way. Let's just get on to these cases. Now, you have a lot of cases here 50, 60 years ago. I assume sightings in Mexico are continuing to the present day. Any more recent sightings?
Yeah, there was one earlier this year in Ciudad Juarez on the border with El Paso. And it was a classic 1950s movies flying saucer that appeared over a soccer stadium. And there was footage on that. So you can, you know, go to the internet and plug in Ciudad Juarez and flying saucer 2023, and you'll get all these images pop up. So yeah, they're still happening. Mass sightings.
Is there any place that somebody in Mexico now, today, can report a sighting? Is it the government or what?
No, you'd have to go to private websites and there are groups throughout Mexico, like MUFON-type groups, but there's nothing national that you can do. So, yeah, the reporting isn't well done down in Mexico. So a lot of these sightings and experiences tend to fall through the cracks.
Is there an official posture now from the Mexican government about this?
No, there is none.
How about one more sighting?
Okay, well, one more sighting. There's so many to pick from. There was a sighting at an Air Force base in 1971, I believe, and the person involved was a teenage girl named Dolores Martinez, and she was taken aboard a craft. She went willingly. She opened up a window at 2 in the morning or so, early morning like that, and then heard a voice in her head to go outside. She went outside, and she was greeted by a man with a white beard, and there was a long metallic craft that was hovering right outside this Air Force base. And so she walked, and he asked her, this bearded man, if she wanted to go on board. And she said yes. So she went on board the craft and didn't feel like it was moving, but supposedly got transported either to a planet or another dimension. And the people who were staffing this UFO, this object, according to her, looked very Caucasian, which led some people to believe that this was some either a U.S. or an Eastern Bloc, a Soviet experiment of some kind that went between dimensions or traveled to different places with a hidden tech or an undercover technology. So that sighting and that experience left a lot of questions, too. And that woman, as she got older, that teenage girl, she did a lot of interviews about all of this. So she wasn't hiding from the press or anything. But that was really interesting because she got to see this supposed planet where these people came from. But she felt like she wasn't even moving in the craft. And she gives detailed accounts of this world that they went to. But she said in a couple of interviews that she suspected that maybe they didn't go to a planet, but they went underground somehow into the earth. So that was very interesting.
Sounds to me like somebody might have hypnotized her and made her believe she was taken on this trip, just a possibility.
Yeah, that's plausible.
What about injuries received in connection with UFOs? You mentioned the dead person, of course, but there's no evidence, I guess, that there was anything untoward there other than possible suspicious aspects, but certainly not paranormal. Are there reports of people becoming injured in proximity to UFOs there?
Not that I know of. There have been a few incidences of radiation poisoning or claims of that, but people being operated on or things of that nature, I haven't heard very many stories involving bodily harm.
Up to you, Tim.
The story that you had told earlier about the little kids and the little monkeys, it always makes me think, especially when you said that older people in the village said, "Oh yeah, you know, we're familiar with these things. They've been around a long time." All the different stories that come out of Mexico and Central America of the, like, one of a better name for them, you know, little people, what we would call fairies, you know, up in the United States. But these stories are very similar to the alien, you know, and I put quotation marks around that word, the alien sightings of recent days. Mexico has a rich tradition of these little guys that come from the mountains or the forest.
Yes. In fact, it goes back thousands of years. And there are two types of small beings that are in Mexican history that goes to the ancient cultures. Aluches, spelled A-L-U-X, Aluche. And also Chaneques. Chaneques are the Aztec version, and Aluche is the Maya version. And a few months ago, the president of Mexico supposedly saw an Aluche in the forest when he was in the Yucatan. So there's a high-profile person who believes in this stuff and has experienced one of these little creatures. So, yeah. It's pretty pervasive throughout the country, the sightings of these little beings.
He even provided a photograph.
Right, yeah.
Of this thing. It was something that looked like it was a setting up in a tree with the ubiquitous glowing eyes.
Yeah, uh-huh. And some people ridiculed him, but I would say the majority of Mexicans would have said something like, "Oh, well, yeah. So what? Yeah, sure. They exist. Yeah, we know. Big deal."
It sounds like they take it in stride. Hey, we're going to have a lot more to talk about, not just UFOs, but other strange things going on in Mexico. The site that Robert Bitho runs is Mexico Unexplained, which is mexicounexplained.com. And you can see loads of articles there about different things. We're going to ask his viewpoint in a moment with Gene and Robert and Tim. You're in
the podcast.
listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling three-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on three-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Certainly, that's just whetting our appetite about UFOs. In Mexico, Robert, what do you think about all this? Do you have an opinion as to what's causing it?
Well, there are so many different sightings, different types of things going on. It's really hard to sort it out and sift through everything. It could be multiple things going on. It's really hard to tell. It's hard to pin down what is really happening. If it's something very ancient, if it's something modern, if it's a bunch of hoaxes, if it's government-backed. A lot of Mexicans are suspicious about UFOs and sightings of extraterrestrials, and many people down there blame the United States. They think it's NASA or the CIA doing things. So, yeah, it's hard to really put your arms around all of this, and I don't have very many conclusions. I do a lot of research, and I present the information, but I don't know. I mean, it's very hard to figure out what's going on, and that's okay. It's okay to live in the mystery, I think, of not knowing. A lot of people, they want to nail down a reason, what's going on, if they're real biological entities, what are they here for, and all of that stuff. I don't know. There's too much going on for me to understand everything, so I just say, okay, you know, I'll let it be mysterious for now, at least.
I gather then that you take it in stride, too. What would you do, yes, for example, if you encountered a UFO? Have you ever seen one?
I thought I saw one when I was a little boy, but I was too young to really understand, I think, what I was seeing. And that I was like 5 or 6 years old. But if I saw something, I think, to use your phrase, I would take it in stride, I guess. Well, I had the opportunity when I was down on a buying trip. I guess it was like 15 years ago. I was in a town and they said, oh, there was a flying saucer crash in a cornfield. Or not a crash, a landing. And there was burnt corn stalks in like a landing area. And the way I go through the rural areas of Mexico buying my merchandise, I usually hire drivers. And so I said to the driver, let's go to the crash or the landing site. And the driver didn't want to go because he was afraid of the radiation. He thought he would be poisoned by the radiation. So I was like, oh, darn. You know, I missed the opportunity. But, yeah. So, and the land that the landing was supposedly on, the guy was charging 20 pesos admission to go and see the burned landing area. I thought that was funny.
Well, it sounds to me very suspicious. It's also interesting the driver immediately fears radiation poisoning. Now, maybe he saw too many sci-fi films. Radiation poisoning, because obviously there have been instances where that could be a possible answer. And we're thinking, speaking of Cash Landrum in 1980, Rendlesham Forest 1980, where it's possible that the injuries suffered by witnesses who got real close may have been radiation or EM related. So just bringing that about. That means you should watch yourself. If E.T. comes a-calling, you should go away.
The suspicion of NASA being involved in a lot of these cases is something that I've heard a lot coming out of Mexico and South America as well, that witnesses of certain cases report that local government, and then accompanied by people who have identified themselves as coming from NASA, you know, come in and take whatever evidence, warn the people not to talk. And as far as we know here in the United States, NASA has never been involved in UFO investigations, albeit up until recently. But this is a common theme coming out of these places through the years.
Yeah, it's either NASA or the CIA that people believe, you know, are investigating these things. In fact, in that the area called the Zone of Silence, I think we talked briefly about that. We mentioned it, about the Zona de Silencio, where it's a place that's like the Bermuda Triangle in the desert of Mexico. It's a biosphere reserve. And when they were building a water tank and some outbuildings to support the staff of that biosphere, people were claiming that that water tower was a secret NASA observatory, and people in the area had seen strange gringos. You know, the gringos always show up, and then that's suspicious. And white vans, and they were not Mexicans who were involved with the setting up of these buildings and then that suspicious water tower. So who knows? There may be some truth to this. I don't know.
Yeah, it's and again, you wouldn't think that an organization such as NASA would just come right out and identify themselves as being NASA. So, you know, again, it makes me think that there are organizations involved that will present themselves as something else because, well, like I said, especially in, you know, Mexico and South America, that's what they would expect. They would expect NASA or the CIA to come down to do all this clandestine stuff. And so it's interesting. And I think that Gene, and you'll have to remind me if this, if I remember this correctly, the Brazilian case with the little alien that James Fox did the film on, that allegedly it was NASA who came down to help take the bodies away.
That is correct. That was a very important point of the story.
Right, right. So, and you hear these kind of reports, you know, all the time that somehow NASA was involved.
Well, maybe you think here the Mexican authorities and the Brazilian authorities have a little bat phone, a little red bat phone or bat cell phone, and if something happens, they dial it up and say, "Yes, Commissioner." No, that's the wrong show. But you know what I mean.
Well, and I know, Gene, that you're wanting to talk about this, considering that last week we had on Travis Roy, who was talking about ancient giants in the United States. What about in Mexico? Is there any stories from Mexico about giants?
Before sure. we get into that, and there's an article that Robert has on the subject, we should mention again that Travis Roy was our guest last week talking about giants. A lot of listeners were dug that one, and we want to find out about giants in Mexico. And we have Mexico Unexplained's webmaster and chief cook and bottle washer, I guess, Robert Bitto. With Gene and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. Three people dead, at least five injured following a shooting at a motorcycle rally in New Mexico. The Coast Guard calling off the search for a Louisiana teenager who went overboard during a graduation boating trip in the Bahamas. There's been an agreement in raising the debt ceiling.
It took weeks, but House Speaker Kevin McCarthy made the announcement Saturday night.
We have come to an agreement in principle. We still have a lot of work to do, but I believe this is an agreement in principle that's worthy of the American people.
Part of the work remaining includes McCarthy writing out the bill's language. He said what's ahead are, quote, historic reductions in spending, without any new taxes or government programs. President Biden said the compromise doesn't make everyone happy, but that's the, quote, responsibility of governing. ABC News reports that it's a two-year budget deal that would separately raise the debt limit for 2 years.
Corey Myers, USA News.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get cloudy. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Robert, let me preface this. There's an article in front of my eyes right now entitled Mexican Giants, and I'll ask the question that you pose. Are giants in Mexico the stuff of myth? Or did they really exist? Robert, what do you think?
Well, once again, we have a big mystery on our hands. And the first reports of giants, if you were to just forget about all the mythology, because there's a lot of mythology and ancient history involving giants. Giants built some of the pyramids, some of the ancient ruins. They moved some of these massive blocks to construct these old cities. Teotihuacan, for example, the major ruined city site that dominated the region just outside the Valley of Mexico 2,000 years ago. Some people believe that that city was built by giants. The pyramids were built by giants. That was a big Aztec legend at the time of the Spanish arriving. But when the Spanish first got to Mexico and started farming, they started digging up big bones. And in the 1550s, I believe, there was a hacienda owner who kept on finding large bones and shipped them to the King of Spain himself because he was so intrigued. And everyone was convinced that a race of giants had lived in Mexico. Now, much like the United States with the Smithsonian, and we've heard the stories about the Smithsonian taking giant bones and dumping them into the Atlantic and covering up and, you know, that whole thing. The Mexicans have a similar organization called the National Institute of Anthropology and History, and they have a great museum in Mexico City, right in the heart of the city. But they have offices in every state in Mexico and multiple offices in some states where whenever there's a suspicious, strange discovery, they're right there. And they've shut down the excavation or, you know, cordoned it off or whatever. So they have their counterpart to the Smithsonian in that regard. A lot of people think that the National Institute of Anthropology and History is keeping the whole Giants thing quiet. So there's that. We have some ancient stories of giants. We have some bones that no one knows where they are now, but stories of discoveries of bones. Yeah, so it's very similar to the United States in that regard.
Isn't that funny, though, how you have these very similar stories of giant bones being discovered, sent off someplace, never to be seen again?
Yeah, you kind of wonder why that is. Okay, let's say if giants were real, you know, hypothetically, of course, mm-hmm. if they were real, why keep it quiet? What's the reason for that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's what the questions were being asked about the North American giants, you know, because there was the theory that somehow it is a racist attitude that the Native Americans were not capable of doing anything more than hunting and gathering, and that the mounds and other ancient structures had to have been built by someone else. So then when giant bones were discovered, that kind of almost reinforced that attitude, so let's make them disappear. Now, I don't know if that, you know, if that's something that would extend down, you know, into Mexico and Central America as well.
Yeah, but what I've always wondered about giant bones is, like, let's go north of the border to the United States. I'd say that most of the building in this country has happened within the past 50 or 60 years. Why aren't we finding giant bones now? Or are we? I don't know. And the same could be said for Mexico. The reports of these bones being discovered, like a lot of them, happened in the 15 and 1600s. And the royal family of Spain was very interested in this for some reason. I have no idea why.
Well, there's even been a very recent video that came out of Mexico. I think it, I remember seeing it over the winter, and it may have been, you know, taken earlier than that, of somebody who allegedly videotaped what appeared to be a very large person on the top of this mountain. Have you seen that one? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I might have seen that in connection to Bigfoot research, because Mexico has two Bigfoot creatures that most people don't know about, because when you think of Mexico, a lot of people think about, you know, Clint Eastwood movies and dusty little towns and things like that. But Mexico has pine forests that go on forever. They also have three glaciers on the tops of three mountains where the people who are the park rangers are trained in alpine rescue. They've been trained in Switzerland to deal with rescues on glaciers. And in the high mountains, there have been photographs, videos of these large creatures. And that creature, which approximates the North American Bigfoot, is called the Coatlacas. And he has a skinnier, more shy cousin who lives in the jungles of Central America and the Yucatan and some other states like Chiapas, who's more reclusive, and it's called the Sisimite. So we don't often think about Bigfoot when we think about Mexico, but there are two creatures who live there, and one of them is huge and, you know, up to 7 feet tall. And maybe that's what you were talking about, that footage on the mountain.
Yeah, give us more description of the Mexican Bigfoots. That's interesting because, once again, you know, those are stories that really don't make it up to us. I mean, you've got all kinds of Bigfoot hunting reality shows, but very rarely do you hear of anything about, like, similar cases in Mexico.
Well, this one Bigfoot creature that is huge and angry, it's called the Cuatlacas, and it's found in mostly the state of Puebla. And only people have been going into these forests as recently as the 1860s. Before that, these areas, these valleys and mountains are so remote that they had no human intrusion until the 19th century. So there have been sightings only within the past 200 years of this big, hairy Cuatlacas creature. And there have been videos taken in the past 10 or 20 years of this creature climbing up one of the glaciers, I believe, on Mount Iztaccíhuatl, which is near Mexico City. But the traditional areas of this creature are mostly in the state of Puebla, in these remote areas, and have only been really coming out in the past 60 years. Now, the other creature called the Sisamite, that has records going back to the Maya times, you know, 1,500 years ago. The Maya talk about the Sisamite just as they would a deer or a jaguar. It was a forest creature that had a spirit connected to it, a very shy primate, about the size of a regular human and skinny and covered in hair. So like a skinny version of a Bigfoot. But that creature has been talked about for a long time.
We have something here that will be a short time, and we'll do it now with Robert, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000. Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So many legends. How do you trace it down? How do you find the evidence that's true? Robert, when we get to things like skeleton remains, that would prove it 100%, right?
Well, just like Bigfoot in North America, Canada, and the U.S., where are the bones? I mean, that is always a downer, you know, for researchers. So it's the same thing with the Coatlacas and the Sisamite. There's scant evidence of bones. There's fur, there's scat, there's eyewitness accounts, but the bones are missing. Or could they be those giant bones that were discovered? Could they be Coatlacas, Mexican Bigfoot bones? We don't know. We don't have them in front of us to look at.
Obviously, also DNA samples, that's also missing in action when it comes to Bigfoot.
Right. And then that leads people to believe that, as you know, there are different camps with Bigfoot. Is it really a terrestrial animal? Is it extraterrestrial? Is it interdimensional? Can he disappear and phase in and phase out at will? You know, there are all of these different camps. And what I've noticed, at least on the American side of the border, they don't get along very well. These people who believe in these different things about Bigfoot. But the same thing could be true for this Coatlacas. Is it a real physical animal? Is it something that goes in between dimensions? We don't really know. It's relatively new. The Sisamite, the skinny jungle version of Bigfoot, like I said, that's been talked about for thousands of years. But the Coatlacas encounters, as people move into these remote areas, these remote forests, they do illegal logging and so on, there are more encounters with this supposed creature. So I think in the next few decades, we might get some answers.
Do you know, concerning these creatures, what the locals think they are? Do they think that they're physical creatures, or you know, what, supernatural creatures.
Well, for the Kwatlakas, they think that you're for the bigger, hairier, you know, more like the North American Bigfoot. For that creature, if people believe in it, they think it's a beast of the forest, so a physical animal, blood and bone and fur animal. For the Sisamite, there are people that look at it more as a magical being. It has powers. It's very shy. It's kind of afraid of humans, and it keeps its distance, but it does have some magical qualities to it. So, that's what they believe for the skinnier Bigfoot. The bigger Bigfoot, the Kwatlakas, from the mountains and forests of central Mexico, those who do believe in it think that it's a real animal, a cryptid.
Well, that once again, I mean, that makes me kind of swerve back around again to some of these possible supernatural types of beings, like the, I'm not going to be able to pronounce it correctly, the Alux and the Shaneke?
The Alush and the Chaneke.
Chaneke, yeah. Right. And some of these other types of things from the woods. But I remember, and gosh, once again, I'm not sure if the video was taken in Mexico or not, but it was about 10 years ago, a group of kids videotaped, they called it a dwarf, like this little bean that came out of the bushes, and it was wearing like a conical hat and kind of moving with like a sideways motion across the road in front of them. But you hear a lot of stories along those lines. One more recent of a kids playing a soccer, and all of a sudden something came out of the field and approached them and caused them all to run away screaming. Of course, the video, I mean, this was taken in the dusk, so it's hard to see, except that it was some kind of small thing that the kids didn't want to be involved with.
Yeah, you know, you have stories like that throughout Mexico. It's really amazing to me. And there are parts of southeastern Mexico, bordering Guatemala and Belize, where the Alush is dressed in an outfit, like with the conical hat. And in Belize, across the border, they call him Papa Duende or Tata Duende. And that's a mixture of Spanish, you know. Duende, or they call it sometimes Duende with an I at the end. And that literally means elf or dwarf in Spanish. And he's described as having a top hat, like a little Santa hat, and he walks backwards. His feet are backwards.
Hmm.
And sometimes you hear that about the Alush, too, and the Sisamite. Sisamite has been described as having feet that go backwards also. So, and it's funny because the Alush and the Sisamite and Tata Duende, they all are in the same area. So the backwards feet, I think that's kind of interesting that these three creatures have that. And they're all from the same area.
You know, what's interesting about that is that in Asia, some stories about the Yeti and the Alma, which are their equivalent of Bigfoot, mm-hmm. has it that their feet are backwards.
Yeah.
And supposedly it's so they can't be tracked. Or it helps them get down the mountains for some reason. But yeah, that was supposed to be a defining characteristic of these things, was the backwards feet. So here we have, I mean, you know, two completely different regions, but with same physical characteristics.
Yeah. Interesting.
It is. It really is. I'll bring up the belief in Mexico of witches. And I'm bringing this up because of the famous story of the policeman who had the encounter with what he called a witch that flew at his windshield. And then the video of something odd that people were calling a witch that was flying through the hillsides. And I'm sure you're familiar with both of those cases.
Yeah, when those were happening in northern Mexico, there was one called the Guadalupe Witch, and then the other one where the witch supposedly attacked the squad car of the cop. That has also been called the Man Bat of northern Mexico, and I did a show on that. Mm-hmm. There was sightings. It was kind of like a Mothman creature, but they were also calling that a witch. So, yeah, witches, that the whole phenomenon of witches goes back thousands of years also. There are different types of witches. There's the vampire witch. It's called the Tlahuilpuchi. Try to say that 10 times fast. Tlahuilpuchi that sucks the blood of infants. And then there's, of course, the La Llorona story about the woman who drowned her children, and now she goes looking for earthly children to snatch. And then there are other shape-shifting witches too throughout Mexico, including the gigantic owl called La Lechuza. And that's supposedly a gigantic owl that transforms from a witch into an owl, and then if you kill it, it turns back into a woman, you know, a female, a witch. So there's a lot. I mean, geez, do we have 3 hours on this show? Just talk and talk and talk.
Well, we don't have 3 hours in this show, but we have, of course, this episode, which is about two-thirds filled. But we also have the After the Paracast podcast, so we can go on. Now, as our listeners know, I knew modern-day witches years ago. And they were paganists. They seemed like environmentally conscious people. I know there was a character in New York, Dr. Leo Lewis Martello. Don't know if Tim knows him. I think Tim Beckley was acquainted with him. So, yeah, we know about the modern witches, not so much about the legends of witches long, long ago. Lots to talk about. Unexplained Mexico with Robert, Gene, and Tim. You're in.
And the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.